Good evening. Our text this evening will be Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Because in my planning, I did not quite work out where I was going to put in one extra Sunday evening sermon. So we're going to continue from our morning's text. Begin in Mark chapter 6, verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when King Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask of me, I'll give to you up to half my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. So immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Let's pray together. Righteous Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings that you have given us this evening. Thank you for this additional time that you have given us to be together to worship you. Thank you, Father, for this word that you have preserved for us in the gospel. We pray, Father, that you help us to learn the lesson of John the Baptist and this story of Herod's folly and his unwillingness to listen to John's testimony. Thank you, Father, that you have given us the testimony of your Son, and we thank you, Father, that we have believed it, and we pray, Father, that we will always believe it, that we'll always listen to it, that we will always obey your voice, and that you will forgive us when we fall astray. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So our text for this evening, there's a reason why I included verse 30 in the reading tonight, because this story about Herod and John the Baptist is framed on either end with the mission of the 12 that we read about this morning. All right, we got this story kind of sandwiched right in the middle of it. So we read about how Jesus sent the 12 out and how they went and proclaimed repentance and they cast out many demons and they anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. And then we get this long story about Herod trying to figure out who Jesus is and deciding that it's John the Baptist because of what he had done to John. And then we get that story as well. And then Mark comes back around to what he started this morning and tells us that the apostles returned to Jesus from their mission, their being sent out, and told him all that they had done and taught. For some reason, the Spirit, through Mark, is chosen to put this story about Herod and John the Baptist right in the middle of this story about the sending out of the 12. There's one thing that we're going to look at in particular, one specific thing that ties these two stories together. But to help us understand Mark's purpose in putting the Herod story, the John story, here, I want us to consider a broad connection between John the Baptist and the apostles. a connection that centers around Jesus. We emphasized this morning that the mission of the 12 is patterned after the ministry of Jesus. Their ministry follows after Jesus' ministry. They are his heirs, as it were, and we are theirs. John the Baptist is another link in that chain, if you want to consider that as a chain. He is a forerunner to the ministry of Jesus, a preview, as it were. Remember, his main job is to proclaim the imminent coming of the Christ. And so it's useful for us to read about the beginning of the apostles' ministry in light of the end of John's ministry, since these ministries have some continuity with each other. John's leads into Jesus's, Jesus leads into the apostles'. And in a way, this chain of events and the way that Mark has hooked them together, so again, we see the beginning of the apostles' ministry and the end of John's ministry at the same time, that tells us about the direction of all ministry rendered in service to God. So the Herod story begins with his confusion about the identity of Jesus. Who is this guy? And there's some general confusion. Some people are saying it's John the Baptist. Some people are saying it's Elijah. Some saying he is some prophet, or maybe the prophet of Deuteronomy 18. This is going to come up again, of course, whenever Jesus himself asks the apostles who they think he is. Right, this is going to tie into the what we sometimes call the good confession, the confession that Peter makes. But Herod has it in his head that Jesus is John the Baptist raised from the dead. And there's a reason why John is on Herod's mind, why John, in a manner of speaking, is living rent-free in Herod's head. It's because John told Herod the truth, and ultimately it cost him his head. This is the particular point of comparison between John and the apostles, that John has been telling Herod that it is not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. He is calling him to repentance. And that is precisely what Jesus sent the 12 out to proclaim, as we read this morning. That the message of the kingdom is a message of repentance. Turn away from sin. And John, of course, gets very specific about it. He doesn't just generically say, repent of your sins. He sees a specific sin going on, and he tells Herod specifically to repent of that sin. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Repentance has always been essential to the church's witness, and it always will be. That's why we proclaim repentance, I think, pretty much every time that we get together. We are called to speak as John spoke to Herod, telling the truth about sin and the necessity of repentance. Now, probably what jumps out to us immediately about that is the consequences for John. I suspect that's part of why the Spirit is putting these stories together like this, by the way. Because the story of John's imprisonment and his beheading foreshadows, first off, our Lord. Our Lord has come to be abused and put to death. He has come to be arrested and slain. And so John's imprisonment and beheading foreshadows that. But it also foreshadows the lives and the deaths of the apostles. All of them faced persecution in life. Most of them became martyrs. In fact, we usually make a point of saying this anytime that we study one of John's books. John is the only one, as far as we know, who died of natural causes. But even he faced persecution, because remember, he's writing Revelation from exile. Now, we should take care how we compare ourselves to the apostles and to John the Baptist in this regard. Right? It's too easy in our circumstances to fall into what we sometimes call a persecution complex, to see ourselves as being persecuted when really we are not. Right? Because persecution is kind of essential to a Christian identity. And sometimes we have trouble when we're not being persecuted, or we perceive that we are not suffering enough, and so we begin to question, all right, am I not being a good Christian, or am I actually suffering? Right? So maybe, and this I have seen this happen sometimes, maybe we suffer for some cause that is entirely unrelated to the faith. But we confuse that thing with the faith, and we attribute our suffering to our faithfulness. Right? Or we will pick at something that is not really a form of persecution, but the world is so light-handed on us here that we can turn any kind of inconvenience into a persecution. So we see a Happy Holidays cup at Starbucks, or we see a gay pride flag hanging from a lamp pole in town. And in our minds, we already have our own heads there on the silver platter. Right? So I want to be careful about how we tie ourselves to the apostles and to John the Baptist in this regard. Because John the Baptist's persecution consisted in his being imprisoned and beheaded for telling Herod the truth about his sin. It did not consist just in Herod's existence. Right? Herod exists and he's committing sin, therefore I'm persecuted. That's not what John the Baptist says. That is not his persecution. Now, that said, right, all of those caveats, those warnings aside, we should remember that proclaiming repentance will usually bring us trouble in some form or another, and we should be okay with it. Right, we shouldn't be afraid to proclaim repentance. Certainly, as we look at the story of John, we shouldn't fear those kinds of consequences. And of course, there are lesser consequences that, you know, not everybody that we tell to repent is going to throw us in prison or cut our head off. There are other things that we can suffer that are less extreme than that. But I don't just mean that we shouldn't be afraid to proclaim repentance because we should fear God rather than men. I mean, that's true. We should fear God rather than men. But the story of John and Herod teaches us something else about proclaiming repentance and perhaps even being afraid of repentance. Sometimes we can be tempted to hold back too much whenever we are dealing with someone, because we read in other places things like our speech ought to be seasoned with salt, right? We want to provide a good witness to people. And sometimes we get afraid that telling someone to repent, pointing out a specific sin and saying, this is not right, this should be different, we're afraid that doing that will cut them off from us. Right? I'm sure you've encountered this. If you've known somebody in sin, maybe you've struggled with, well, how do I talk to this person about this? Or how do I bring this up? Right, and you can just imagine it in your head, like they're going to fly off the handle, they're going to call me a bigot, they're going to stop taking my calls, they are not going to greet me whenever I say hi to them in the grocery store. Right, we have the whole scene play out in our minds as we're agonizing over how to break it to them that, hey, that what you're doing here is contrary to the will of God. We don't want to burn bridges, we don't want to shut doors, or, you know, pick any other kind of metaphor for cutting off ties. And so, sometimes, we will allow that to keep us from saying anything at all. And John's relationship with Herod, I think, is instructive in that regard. Because look at the relationship that John and Herod had. First of all, does it strike you as weird to talk about there being a relationship between John and Herod? And yet they had one. You look at the way that Herod treated John. All right, John had been saying to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He has proclaimed repentance. And the wife in question, Herodias, had a grudge against him and wanted him put to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man. And he kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, yet he heard him gladly. All right, so we're given just a general picture of things, but we're given the idea that John and Herod have several conversations. And Herod apparently looks forward to these conversations. Even though John has told him to his face, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. But Herod is still inviting him in, listening to him. He's perplexed by him. Yet he hears him gladly. He even goes so far as to defend John from Herodias. Sometimes our fear is misplaced. Because, like, here's the thing. We can't tell the future. Right? We do want our speech to be seasoned with salt. We do want to minister to people winsomely. Because we are looking to help people repent. Right? We're not talking about going Westboro Baptist on people. And yet John's example shows us that sometimes we can push things a little harder than we imagine. Right? Something that we have to use discernment on from relationship to relationship. But sometimes our fear is misplaced and overamplified. And the person that we think is going to shut us down and cut us off and stop taking our calls won't do anything of the sort. Maybe they'll clam up when we talk to them about their sin. Maybe they won't say anything about it. Maybe they won't do anything about it. But they won't cut us off. And so it's worth having these conversations. Because that's what we're here for. That is a big part of who we are. And that is the call this evening, is for we, the church, to be who we're supposed to be. We've seen Jesus do it, proclaim repentance. We've seen the apostles do it. We've seen John the Baptist do it. The call is for us to do it, to remain faithful to this pattern, to issue a gospel call for repentance when we see sin. We invite any who are in need of answering the gospel call to believe the good news about Jesus Christ and to turn away from any sins that you might be in, to confess him as Lord, to be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of your sins. If you are a member of the kingdom and you are in sin, and you feel the need to confess that and ask for the prayers of the congregation, we also stand ready to help you with that. Whatever your need is, we encourage you to make it known by coming forward as together we stand and sing.